know what it's like to be a fan of something. Doesn't necessarily have to be anime and manga, but you can be totally into collecting coins, and you just fan out about collecting coins or collecting golf clubs or whatever, or totally nerdy about traveling. Like, you gotta have the spark in you. You have to have the ability to be nerdy about something. Not everybody has that. Some people kind of live their life in a five all the time. And that's cool. That is cool. For some people, that's just how they roll and they're happy. But when you get to talking to it with someone and you know they're nerdy about something, you see that glitter in their eye and you see that their posture change and you see that they just really want to talk about it and they can't stop until they get that passion out. Those are the type of people who do well in entertainment. They know what it's like to be a fan of something.
Indeed so. Well, I would like to, though, go into something that you covered at one of those panels as well further, in that your road into the industry was an interesting one. And how did it start, you know, as far as that?
Well, it was very interesting. It was very non-standard, very, very, very non-standard. And I don't think anybody has a standard path into entertainment, let alone anime. I started out as an anime fan. I was a cosplayer. I was a professional seamstress, got really, really, really good with cosplay, became internet famous through it, and started doing conventions as a cosplay guest, which helped teach me how to speak in front of public, you know, better than I had, how to handle pressure, how to suck it up and bear it. I mean, nothing quite like staying 8 hours in one place in a corset and 6-inch heels. To make you learn how to grin and bear it and still look good on camera. Just loving that cosplay, I started a business partner of mine through cosplay.com, the wig shop known as Cosworks, was a co-founder of that. Went to conventions, sold a lot of wigs, sold a lot of cat ears, talked to a lot of fans, so that taught me the back end of working in dealers' rooms, how to do load in, how to do load out. I also was convention staff. I used to be dealer's room staff for Anime Boston, hospitality for Anime Boston, and a lot of other cons. But, you know, around early 2008, I started doing booth volunteering for industry partners, and I did some cosplay stuff, like, hey, we need you to dress as this character, hang out at the booth. Probably one of the most memorable ones was when Bandai did Lucky Star. I was in the cheerleader troupe as Miyuki. So I had to learn the Lucky Star dance, make my cheerleader costume, and work with all of the girls. Like, I did that dance 100 times at Anime Expo. It was also that year that I started doing part-time work for Funimation, working at the booth, and I learned that I had a talent for talking about anime because I knew so much about it. And, of course, I had the talent for sales because I own my own business, and I have that business acumen. And I have a very weird photographic memory for spreadsheets and release dates. It's really scary. After working with the industry for a while, I saw that Funimation had an opening for a brand manager. And that was a lot of things that I already had the skills for and I was really good at, and I didn't think they'd take me. I thought, I'm just some random cosplay girl, some anime fan. They're not going to take me seriously. But you better believe if I get that interview, I'm going to leave it all on the stage. And I did. Oh, it was an epic interview. I put everything I had into it. And then I just hoped they wouldn't laugh me out of the room. Well, they didn't laugh me out of the room. After a while, they offered me a job as brand manager. And I started working directly with Japan on many titles and working my way up through the ranks until I became senior brand manager, and I was working on titles like Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Hitalia, Panty and Stocking, Summer Wars, and so many others. And through that, I wanted the next challenge. I wanted to come back to the West Coast, and I saw there was an opportunity at Viz, and, you know, a chance to like work on Ranma and work on Bleach and work on Naruto, like these other great properties that Funimation didn't have access to. So I wanted that next challenge and left it all on the stage again. And I ended up being able to come back to California And lo and behold, end up being able to work on Sailor Moon. I mean, how much of a dream is that?
Sailor Moon came along and the rest is history.
Yeah, but it's, you know what? It's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. It's everything onward and upward and keep trying. I never rest on my laurels. I'm always looking for the next big thing, how to make things better, how to make the experience better, how to just make anime more accessible and better. Because now it's one thing to work on the shows. It's one thing to work on a team about the shows. It's another thing to expose people to anime that don't know about it yet. So I feel like that's a very important part of the industry, is bringing more people into fandom. Oh, and fans can do that too. So one thing fans can really do along with the industry is bring a friend. You know, if you're into anime, you're into manga, you're into video games, you're into your stuff, bring a friend into it. Lend them a manga. You know, lend them an, you know, anime DVD or Blu-ray. You know, share your Hulu subscription with them. You know, introduce them to some shows. You know, the best thing you can do to keep anime and manga and all these cool stuff alive is bring a friend, get a friend into it. And I think that's a lot of what I do now, just to a much more massive scale, is, you know, when I go out and I do these panels, we do these events, we're all working as a team to make new friends and bring them into the fold. So it's something, and it's a dream come true. It's an exceptional amount of hard work. And in many ways, you know, it's after 5 o'clock here, but in many ways, my day is just beginning. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade it for anything at all.
Marvelous. And, you know, I mean, especially, I mean, now, you know, you were once a person who went to the conventions, and now you're going there, currently as someone who's working for Viz. I mean, what do you think about that role reversal now? I mean, you know, you used to sit at panels, now you're hosting them. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, the kind of role reversal that someone does when they go from the outside to the inside?
It's, you know, it's really cool. But it's different. It's like the, you can sometimes have nostalgia for something that you can't get back to. Like, I still love going to panels. I try to every convention that we go to, and I go to as industry representative, I try to go to a couple fan panels if I can, if my schedule allows it. But I also, I've had to learn the hard lesson that I can't just go anonymously to fan panels, because sometimes they see me as industry girl and I think their mom's watching. They're like, oh no, they're gonna bust us. It's just, no, I just really want to go to your doujinshi panel. But it's like, how do I explain it? This is my role now. This is where I belong. And this is my duty. And I get to use like a Sailor Moon analogy. Like, Usagi doesn't get to be a normal girl anymore, even though sometimes she wishes for it, but there's a mission and it must be done and it's fulfilling. So it's interesting. It's interesting. And sometimes I never thought that I'd get to be on stage at a panel. I thought it was always for really big, crazy, popular celebrities and people who really have it together. I don't feel like I have it together. I still feel like a little screaming fangirl, like a teenage fangirl on the inside. And part of me is like, why do I get to do this panel? I don't have it together.
And what do you think about that? You discuss you go to a lot of these fan panels. I mean, what are your thoughts on the fan created media that you know, comes as a byproduct of the anime industry, such as animated music videos, which have recently come under scrutiny by music producers in this country, and you know, are constantly getting, you know, kicked off YouTube when somebody complains about it. I mean, what are your thoughts on this fan-generated kind of stuff, or also the fan fiction that has come under some scrutiny as of late?
I do love the fan works. It's a fine line between respect and homage and taking advantage of it. There's no way anything, you know, there's no way fan works could ever be approved. They can be enjoyed. I mean, if someone's doing something passionately and they're not hurting anybody and they're not you know, they're not making money off somebody else's IP. I don't see, you know, as a fan, I think they're really cool to look at. I can't speak to the music industry and how they operate, because it's totally, you know, it's totally outside of my realm. But, you know, I like to enjoy it from a distance. You know, sometimes they make me giggle. But as far as fan panels and fan presentations and stuff, I get a little snobby when it comes to presentations, and that I go to presentations, I see people using PowerPoint poorly. They're like, guys, you should get Keynote. You should get Keynote, especially people who are trying to embed media into PowerPoint and it crashes all the time. I'm just like, guys, get Keynote. Your life will be so much better. So I tend to nerd out that way. It's like, oh, this presentation is structured very oddly. There's many improvements. We could tighten that up. But I love the fact that fans are putting on panels, and the good ones are excellent. Like the stuff that Charles Dunbar does, like,